Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel again. Here I'm talking about negotiations between the European Union and the United Kingdom involving a youth mobility scheme and various other things. But why are they even negotiating anything? Because of course the Brexit was some time ago. There was a trade deal as part of that. Now that was time limited, so that's about to expire. I don't quite understand. That was meant to be a 5-year thing. This is 2005, and the fifth anniversary. It was some time ago. Was it the 1st of February? So it might be pursuant to that. Now, almost all Labour MPs were Remainers, and Starmer was one of them. And in some ways, they've never recovered from that psychological trauma of the public voting to leave the United Kingdom. And Labour fought tooth and nail to prevent it happening. I remember the 2019 election, they had this asinine policy of renegotiating an exit deal with the European Union, calling a second referendum. And the options being to leave the European Union on the basis of the deal that Labour had just negotiated with the European Union, or to cancel the Article 50 notice on the Treaty of Lisbon and stay in the European Union unconditionally forever. And Labour would then campaign against the very deal that just negotiated the European Union, which would give the European Union every incentive to offer Labour an absolutely terrible deal. But obviously, that's the way Labour wanted it. So it was a completely illogical and daft policy. So not surprisingly, it led to their worst result in terms of seats for about 80 years. So in some ways, they'd like to rejoin the European Union through the back door. Now, I'm not in principle opposed to a youth mobility scheme. It depends on the particulars. Now, Republic of Ireland, we've got this, common travel area of the United Kingdom. I'm a British citizen as well, but citizens of one or the other, they can go and live in the other country and work there, stay there for life, don't need a visa. There already is some youth mobility between the European Union and the United Kingdom, but you need to get a visa. So when the UK's got net 700,000 immigration per annum, why does it desperately need more people moving in? And okay, so young British people might like to want to go and work in the European Union. Now, the UK already has youth mobility schemes with Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. Now, one of the reasons that it works quite well is they're roughly similar numbers want to move in each direction. I mean, bearing in mind New Zealand's only got 5 million people, the UK's got 70 million. We look at the totality of it. A country's at a similar economic level. But if you take Bulgaria, for example, for every one Briton who would move to Bulgaria, about 100 move in the opposite direction. So that's why you're not talking about like with like. And with some of the wealthier European Union countries, that's so true. Or some of the other countries by the European Free Trade Area, presumably would extend to places like Switzerland, Norway, and so on, which are not in the European Union, but part of the Free Trade Area. Would it be up to the age of 30 or 35? Would there be limited numbers? Would it be unlimited numbers? Would it only work in certain sectors? The one about student visas, I completely agree. I would have said European Union citizens coming to the United Kingdom to study, fine. Your acceptance on your course, that is your visa. Come. You can stay, arrive 30 days before your course, leave 30 days after your course. You can work up to 20 hours a week, in your in term time or whatever, something along that basis. But Labour obviously wants better trade, but it's almost frictionless trade with the European Union anyway. Yes, there are some import export taxes, or if you're sending money from the United Kingdom to an EU bank account, there's a charge on that, whereas it's not from EU to EU and things like that. So now Starmer has ruled out any possibility of rejoining the European Union, but wait a second, he might be doing it step by step, stealthily. But even Kemi Badenoch, the leader of the Conservative Unionist Party, said the party, her party, is not opposed to youth mobility schemes in principle. But Richard Tice, who's the deputy leader of the Reform United Kingdom, says it's the thin end of the wedge that you'll allow in a few more and a few more and a few more, and before you know it, you're effectively back in the European Union. So let's not even begin that process. So I don't think there's that much just to discuss, really. I think the situation is satisfactory. And people say, "Oh, it's such a slow puncture on the British economy." But how come the British economy has grown almost all the time? I mean, apart from the 1 year where the whole world economy imploded in coronavirus, due to grow 1% this year. Not fantastic, I know, but most of the European Union is going into recession. And these Euro fanatics, they just can't accept their project doesn't always work. Oh, the United Kingdom was hugely missing out and not joining the Eurozone. And the Euro has been around since New Year's Day 2002. And for much of that time, the sterling zone did better than the Eurozone. And sometimes when the Eurozone has done better, it's not necessarily because they've got the Euro, and so on. Like Republic of Ireland, oh, we should never join the euro. Now, coming out of it is so difficult that might not be practicable or desirable. And all these countries that joined the European Union since 2004, they all agreed in principle that they would join the eurozone eventually. And very few of them have done it. Slovakia's done it, Slovenia's done it, Cyprus, Romania, Poland, the Czech Republic, nowhere near. I mean, I think Sweden and Denmark had a permanent opt-out. They're keeping their, you know, is it Danish krona, Swedish krona as well, permanently. So Starmer, we know he's instinctively a Europhile and would like to rejoin step by step. So it may be linked to trade issues as well. And the United Kingdom has been extremely successful negotiating all these trade deals with other countries. Now, Kemi Badenoch, she said that the United Kingdom has been slammed by the United States over this trade agreement. I mean, I don't think it's too bad, actually. Not the chlorine washed chicken. Oh, you think it's unhealthy food? Don't buy it then. Don't eat it if you think it's unhealthy. Whatever happened to my body, my choice? Allowed to eat unhealthy food if I want to. You know, you can't legislate for immortality. But obviously, the Conservatives there in office, they've been very keen to sign a new trade agreement with the United States. And it's been quite successful to get the tariffs down to 10%. Okay, if you're selling into the European Union, you have to meet EU regulations as regard to health and safety and so on. Fine. That's true of selling into any market. If you're selling to Canada, you're selling to China or Nigeria, your products have to be acceptable according to their regulations and vice versa. Well, the European Union is also behind borders trade. In the old days, as things produced in the United Kingdom, not for export, and they sell within the UK or produce in the UK, but to be sold to Brazil, for example. And so that's where they change things. Oh, we have to have a single market. We have to have regulations and we have to have all the same laws in the same court, the same parliament. Lie. You don't have to be part of Japan to trade with Japan is preposterous. Anyway, I think Labour would like to make it a bit closer. The Liberal Democrats are open. They think they'll want to wait for the opportune moment to try and rejoin the European Union. But I think people are a little bit bored of the situation of hearing about it. So they decided to do it slowly and wait till they think the time is ripe. But that generational moment may have passed. I know what they say is that Victor Hugo said, there is something that's mightier than all the armies on earth, and that is an idea whose time has come. But the time for the United Kingdom to leave the European Union, well, that definitely arrived and that has happened. And notice is the real Eurosceptic party is Reform United Kingdom has the impetus. Felt the United Kingdom didn't really leave. Now, their sang-froid about leaving the European Union without a trade deal, that was too much for me. I was very glad there was a deal, however imperfect it was. Nevertheless, obviously, there are a few speed bumps about leaving at the time. It could never be completely smooth, but I think it would have been a bit foolhardy to leave and just say, World Trade Organization rules. WTA had only been around about 25 years. Are you really sure that would have worked so well? I mean, people I know said it would have been immensely difficult for business to leave without that, without any sort of agreements. But so Starmer is obviously keen to curry favour with them. And then we have the former Prime Minister of Belgium, Guy Verhofstadt, always saying it's a slow puncture on the British economy and so on. I mean, even that's true. I'm very glad Brexit has happened. And I'm glad, even if we're willing to be worse off for being outside the European Union. Republic of Ireland, would we be worse off outside the EU? Yeah, almost certainly. How much? I don't know. Considerably. If we're actually reduced to malnutrition, okay, then I would say in the EU. But are we willing to be a lot worse off for the sake of being outside the European Union? Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallahan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.